title of our Sunday school lesson today is Samson Becomes One of Israel's Judges. And our devotional background study comes from Judges chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Now Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistine and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of Timite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that thou hast done unto them? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear upon me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they brought him, and they bound him with two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Discuss the lesson today. If you want to lead the discussion. Our lesson has been on Samson, and Terry and I both agree this has been kind of difficult to kind of deal with, to kind of come out with any kind of a feeling that we've done justice to the lesson. But nevertheless, we're still studying about Samson. And if, as everyone knows, some of the things that Samson did, he was full of himself and he was full of sin. Now, to bring you up to date to where we are today, if you listen to Terry's reading, it told you a lot of things that had happened to Samson. And I don't think any of this was very pleasing to the Lord. I don't think anything that Israelites had done was pleasing to the Lord. They had failed to clear the land of their enemies, and now the Philistines had moved in along the coast of Israel, and they occupied the country, and they ruled the country. And so the Philistines lived in the lowlands, and the Israelites lived in the mountainous areas. And they were subjected to the rules of the Philistines, and that wasn't pleasing God, but they had kind of brought this on themselves here again. This is one of those times when they kind of had fallen away from God. And you know, you can read several times in the scriptures where the Israelites had failed God, and he took them off into captivity, or he was there dealing with these people to get them to follow him. And now we find out that, if you remember, that In the 13th chapter of Judges, let me just read that, where Samson was promised, it says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So he was called of God even before he was born. Now, the problem with Samson was he had a tendency to want to do things like he wanted it done, not necessarily like God wanted it done. And as I told you in the lesson that a couple of weeks ago, when you're a Nazarite, I mean, there's certain rules that you have to follow, that you're supposed to follow. And Samson was amiss at following any of this that set him apart from the people. And as Terry read this morning, to bring you up a little bit, Samson had taken a wife of the Philistines, and that was wrong. And then he had given her away. And then he had come back and wanted her back, and her father said, "No, you can't have her, but you can have somebody else." Well, he got all bent out of shape, and he burned the Philistines' crops. He burned them down. Well, then the Philistines, they got all mad because their crops were burned and they didn't have anything put aside. So they lit out after Samson. And Samson was in this spot, in this area. And the Israelites came to Samson and they said, "We're going to turn you over to," I'm paraphrasing, "we're going to turn you over to the Philistines." And Samson told them not to, but they did anyway because they didn't want to be overrun by the Philistines. The Philistines had come to take revenge for Samson burning the crop, and they wanted Samson. So the Israelites caught him, bound him up, turned him over to the Philistines. And that's what Terry was reading about this morning. And then we find out in the 14th verse of today's lesson, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off, and his bands loosed from off his hands." In other words, he was bound up by the Israelites, but he broke out of these bonds. "And he found a new jawbone of an ass." That's like a fresh jawbone. "And put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathaliah," or however you pronounce that. Let me see how that's Ramathaliah. "And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" I want to point out something here. He was a little snappy with God, if you ask me, about this. And in the 16th verse, he had taken the credit for slaying these thousands of men, because he said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men?" Well, now, a little time later, when he's in trouble, he's dying of thirst and he needs something and he doesn't have anything, well, now he gives credit to God. That's just, I mean, the lesson I want to bring out today is Samson is no different from us. This is kind of like we are, isn't it? I mean, I know I am. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but we're kind of that same way. We like to take credit, but when we get in trouble, we go to God and say, we need you. Well, that's kind of what Samson was doing. So when he needed something, he gave God the credit. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkuri, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, Samson was a sinner. But we find that God uses even those of us who have sinned against him to carry out his will. God has a way, and God wants that way to prevail. And if he has to use a weak sinner, he'll use whatever means he will. So even though Samson had been set apart, and he continually fell into temptation because he was vengeful and he was a womanizer, and he sort of practiced his own religion, you might say. He kind of did what he wanted to. And that's not unlike a lot of us today. I'm talking about God's people now, who serve God as long as it's on our own terms. I mean, that's how a lot of people serve God. Now, I'm not talking about the lost. I'm talking about God's people. Many of God's people serve him and more than happily serve him as long as it's on their own terms. As long as they can rationalize that they can go out and do whatever else they want to. And then come in here on Sunday morning and serve God. And in other words, almost to the point of being a hypocrite, at least in God's eye, because they serve him on Sunday and then they go out and do whatever they want to on the other days. But however, in Samson's case, there was a plan that he had to free Israel, and he was going to use Samson to do this. That's what he had set about to use it. So even though Samson sinned, God had a purpose for him. But you know, that don't mean that God had a purpose for each one of us if we sin against him and keep sinning against him. I mean, he did have a purpose for Samson, but the lesson is not here that no matter how much you sin, God has a purpose for you. That's not necessarily the lesson, because Samson just was there and God used him. I may be here and God take me out of this world because I failed to do something. And, you know, Samson eventually lost his life because of what he did, because of his failure, his many failures to God. Now, there are those who, like I said, who serve God only when it's convenient to them. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that we are like that, but I'm sure that we know people who are like that. And we may even ourselves have had thoughts that would not necessarily be pleasing to God if you just wanted to look at yourself and bare your soul, you might say. There might be a lot of thoughts that run through our own minds that wouldn't be pleasing to God and how we serve him. We seem to want to define how much time and substance we give God. If we give money to the church, maybe God wants us to give a little more. We're allowed to get mad about it. You know, if he wants us to give a little more of our time, then if it conflicts with our other time, then we want to get mad about it. If the service runs a little long, we might get mad about it. You see, there's little things that sneak into our thought process sometimes that I don't think God is pleased with. God has given us all of our life, really. He's given us our health, our well-being. He's done all this for us. And yet, we have a tendency to fall short and not give him the proper respect, the proper honor and glory. And then we become conflicted. I know I've been in the same shape. There's things that happen and you want it to hurry up, or you want it to, you know, it would be best for Samson and would be best for God's people if we all just turned it over to God and did what he would have us to do. I think we'd all be in a better way. Now, in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, and the 11th verse, this is, well, I think it was Paul who wrote this, but he's talking to the church, and he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For even for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to him that are of full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If we go through our life giving God only our convenience, only when it suits us, Paul is warning here that we become like babes when we should be teachers. We should have strove to be more in the sight of God. And yet here we are sitting still and becoming like babes rather than being teachers. And that's kind of what Samson was doing. He would do something for God, but then he would lay back and he would sin and he would not do what he should be doing. And it was kind of a back and forth thing. And we're kind of that same way. But Paul is saying here that there becomes a time when if you had hung in the saddle, you would be further along than what you are. And we have a tendency, I think, all of us have a tendency to kind of drift back a little bit and maybe let somebody else do this or let somebody else do that. But the more we do that, the more convenient it becomes, because you see other people doing that, so they don't need me. I'll just sit back here and I won't do anything. And then you begin to lose ground with God because you're not doing anything for him. And Paul says you need to be in there working, because that way you can get the strong meat of the word. You can get the full blessing, you know. And I'm comparing that to Samuel, because Samuel never got the full blessings that God had for him because of his failure to serve God in a way, in a manner that would have been pleasing. That would have been pleasing to God. Now, if you go over into 1 John, and a lot of people think that in John, that he's talking about sinners. But John is speaking to the saved people. And in the second chapter and the fourth verse, it says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, he's not talking about a lost person. He's talking to the saved. He's talking to his brethren and sisters. He said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And we can't do that if we follow Samson's lifestyle. Serve God when we want to. Go out and do what we want to. We begin to lose ground. You see what I'm trying to get at here? We begin to lose our faith. We begin to become weak. The Bible speaks, I think it's Paul that speaks about the wind blowing the grass to and fro. That's kind of how we become. You know, we're like to wander off and take up with anything. That's what Samson did. He was anointed by God, yet he wandered off and he took up with the Philistines. He took a pagan woman for his wife. He approached a dead body. He wasn't supposed to be doing that. He wasn't supposed to be around a vineyard. He wasn't supposed to be around wine. He did that. And so you see, he served God when it became convenient in his own time. And when he was thirsty, he decided that he would give God honor for what had happened. But I think as long as everything is going well, then he's slack in his obedience to God. And I think that's how God's people get. If everything's going well, we all have a tendency to just kind of sit around. And so it hurts the cause when people see that we're temporary in our serving God. You know, we come into this church, we sit with our brothers and sisters, and we listen to preaching, and we testify, and we do this and do that, and the Spirit is here, and yet we don't carry that outside this church. We have a tendency not to carry that. Some of you might. I very seldom do. I wish I could do more in that way. Now, there are people I know that can go out and talk about this stuff, and I pray to God that He would allow me to do that. And a couple of times I've done that and it felt really good. But I don't do that all the time. I shouldn't be this, you know, come in here and feel good about it and go out there and forget what God has done for us, what He's blessed us with. And we all need to be in a way, in a place that God can use us. Now, we've got a good revival, our effort meeting that's going to start tonight. We all need to be in a place where God can use us for this meeting. Because it's a serious meeting. It's God should be in our midst. We should pray that the lost would come in here, and we should pray that the lost would hear something that would cause them to be saved, and we should pray that God would give us something to do. We need something to do, because when we have something to do, it gets us closer to God, doesn't it? I mean, if you are working and serving God, don't you feel that nearness that comes to Him? And we need to have that with us all the time. We don't need to be like Samson was. We don't need to be serving God just because it's a convenient time. We need to serve God each and every day of our life. We need to get up in the morning thinking about Him, and we need to go to bed thinking about Him. And not be these type of Christians that just serve Him at their own convenient time. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shine. That's where we're at. We're in the true light. That's what we're here serving, in the true light this morning. And we need to realize that. We need to come to grips with it. And, you know, we don't need to just serve the true light here this morning. When we get out that door right there, we need to take that light with us. It needs to go with us. Now, Samson failed in many ways. And he eventually lost his life. He was extremely vengeful. He kept wanting to take revenge on these people that had done him wrong. But the lesson here is that didn't please God at all, the way Samson was living. So we need to think about reading about Samson and seeing where at the times when he served God, he was able to accomplish a lot. But then he always fell by the wayside. And I guess that's just human nature. I guess it's just the fact that we're just human, but it takes work. It really does. It takes work. It takes an effort on our part to be continually in the service of God. But let's pray for one for the other, that each thing that we do would be to His liking, and that we would not let one person carry the load, but we'd all pitch in and carry the load, help each other. pray for each other, work with each other, support each other, serve God, not when it's at our convenience, but serve God each and every time, each and every day. That's my lesson. I didn't talk too much about Samson, but I just wanted to give you a hint that that Samson's life is a roadmap of what not to do in serving God. I mean, it really is. I mean, he was serving God, and then he wouldn't serve God. Then he'd serve God, and he wouldn't serve God. It's a map of what not to do. Because God is there, and God has a plan for each one of us. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what he has for you to do. I don't have any idea about that. Sometimes I don't even know what he has for me to do. But you know what we need to do? We need to be on our knees and asking him to give us something to do. I mean, if we don't know what it is, there's somebody who does. And we need to get on our knees and ask him. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get down and ask him what it is you would have me to do. You know, we're afraid that he'll tell us. We're afraid that he'll let us know what it is. And that's my lesson. Anyone have anything?
Well, I see. You can see this God was with something. Best thing about the foxes, if you ever deal with a fox, they're hard to catch. You catch 300 in the jokers.
Yeah. I don't know how he did that.
I don't know how he did it either.
I don't.
That's what I'm talking about. When he killed 1,000 people with a joke on them.
That's pretty difficult, too.
That's pretty difficult, too.
It was.
Even though he was a
civil. That's right. But God had a plan, and he was going to use Samson for that plan.
Yep.
I mean, that was the focus of God, was Samson. But you know, I think Samson could have had a much more effect had he done everything God would have him to do and live the life that he would have him to live. I think he would have had a much more effect. I think he would have been one of the greater judges that were in the Bible. But because of his failure, he was just kind of mediocre in that. But let's search out what God would have us do. Let me give you a prime example. This is me. And I've told y'all this. At Harmony, Shelley was standing back there in the back, and I was up here in the Amen corner, and God told me to go talk to her. And I said, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to say. I mean, she was just standing there. We had an altar call. She was just standing there. I told God, I said, I don't know what I'm going to tell her. And he kept telling me, go talk to her, go talk to her, go talk to her. I kept arguing with him. I'm arguing with God. Like I know better than what God knows. And I told him, I said, God, I do not have a thing to tell her. I just didn't have it, didn't feel it, so I didn't want to go. And he finally said, you're going. And I did. And I got back there, and as I was walking back there, I was going, I don't have a thing to say. I put my hand on her shoulder and she was gone. To the altar. I didn't have a thing to say because that's not what God, he didn't have anything for me to say either. He just wanted me to do something. You see? And I'm not giving myself honor and glory for that. That's not what this is about. This is about doing what God would have us do no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is. If God tells you to do something, you need to be doing it. And if you haven't got anything to do, you need to ask God, is this what you want me to do? Is nothing? Who knows? I don't know what it is he's got for us to do, but he's there and he's ready. And we should be serving and giving him thanks for all that he's done for us. Anyone else?
Met somebody interesting at Lower Indiana, met Bob Vanderpool. I've never met him. Nice man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob's a nice man. Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss me?
I was on this day.